Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now. Oh, yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Thank you for hanging in. A couple minutes late going to air, and a couple of reasons for that. It is Tuesday, June 25th, and we are live out of the bunker in North Regina on a beautiful hot summer day. Big Burn is out of the barn, and we're ready to talk sports today with Darren DuPont, my Tonto.
No.
Do you know the significance of that?
I do. Not the Lone, or
the Lone Ranger. Yeah. That's right, Kemo Sabe.
Silver.
Yes. And hello to everybody listening at RodPeterson.com. Listen live, farmers in the field and the ships at sea. Coming up on the program today, I think it's going to be, it's just going to be fantastic. It's a lot of CFL talk. It's a lot of Ryder talk. We believe Marshall Hamilton will be here. Apparently, his workout went long, and I don't know if he's trapped behind a train, under a train, or what, but the former Rough Rider Stampeder and Hamilton Tiger Cat will be with us on set. Hall of Famer Eddie Davis will be with us via video conference. We're not sure from where. I'm interested to find out where.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Eddie all geeked up to come on the program. In hour two, a couple more Ryder Hall of Famers, Jim Hobson and Roger Branvold in studio, and an interview that I'm quite interested to hear and conduct, Ryan Phillips, not the BC Lions great and Lions defensive back, a former Regina Pat pro hockey player, is cycling across the country, raising awareness for mental health, and he's going to be here in studio.
Very cool.
He's rolled through Regina. He's going to make some time for us. On the way, and as I mentioned, we are a little late getting to air, so I'm a little discombobulated here. But our poll question today, brought to you by... Dun-dun-dun. We'll mention that later. I think it starts next week, the actual name of the sponsor, the Twitter
yes.
poll. Canada's Game of the Week. I'm going to let you vote yourself. The poll's up. I put it up at 6 a.m. today. In the CFL, there are 4 games this week. Edmonton at Winnipeg, Montreal at Hamilton, BC at Calgary, and Saskatchewan at Toronto. I'll go first. I'll jump into the pool first. Toronto at Saskatchewan is my Canada's Game of the Week. It's cross-divisional. It's cross-country. It's Chamberlain's return. That's my Game of the Week. It is not the poll respondents, however. What's your vote?
Edmonton, Winnipeg.
Why?
It's the two, right now, premier teams in the CFL.
It's the battle of the unbeaten.
It's the battle of the unbeaten. And Winnipeg has the high expectations. Edmonton didn't have high expectations coming into the season. We all picked them to finish fifth in the West. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at them, they got worse at quarterback, or so we thought. You know, they made some moves on the defensive side of the football, but we thought they actually got worse this year. And through 2 weeks, they've proven us wrong. Trevor Harris looks outstanding. But now,
doesn't he?
But now going against Winnipeg, his question mark, and he's going to have to continue to answer it, has been consistency. Can he do it week over week? Can he do it month over month? Can he get through the big games? So far, he's been able to do that this season, and this is the biggest test early on, and this is the biggest matchup early on of the first 3 weeks of the season.
It, by a whopping margin, is Canada's Game of the Week. Via our Twitter respondents, at Rod Peterson Show, our Twitter account. 52% say the Eskimos at the Bombers, it's Friday night, isn't it, is Canada's Game of the Week. Followed by Toronto at Saskatchewan on Monday, Canada Day. And then, with 16% of the vote, BC at Calgary, Saturday. And not one person has voted for Montreal and Hamilton. Not one.
No.
Do they even have fans? But we know this is not just a Saskatchewan show. You said the lady last night tweeting us from Winnipeg, Jessica, said she feels guilty loving this show so much since she's a Bomber fan. No. We need to change. We need to knock some barriers down, Darren. We need to maybe mend some fences, and that begins with me. Mi casa a su casa to every CFL fan across this country, and for that matter, around the world. Good evening, Norway. How was dinner? Latifus and crumb cake. You're just letting me roll, aren't you? So along the way, with all of our Hall of Famers, these are some of the things I want to get to. We've established Canada's game of the week. It's BC at Edmonton, or it's Edmonton at Winnipeg.
Yeah.
BC Lions are 0-2. Are the problems as big as they're being made out to be? We'll cover that. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, are they as good as we think? I say the only thing that'll stop Winnipeg this year is themselves. Calgary, I've been reading a lot of coverage out of Calgary. Good morning to the Stampeders fans. They're after redemption this week against BC. That's two winless teams going at it in the foothills.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Right.
Lions Stampeders. What is this, 1988? Alouettes, are they on the rise? They're going to be missing Antonio Pipkin and Taylor Loeffler this week. That's not going to help. Are they as bad as their record indicates? Well, they're only 0-1.
Yeah, no, of course not. I don't think so. I don't think anybody's as bad as their record indicates this early in the season. Even Toronto. Even Toronto after the big loss last week. I don't think anybody's in that bad of shape. And I heard it online, too, and you know, tempering expectations. Grey Cup hasn't won in the first 2 weeks. And it's not lost either. BC's proven that. We keep talking about it.
Hamilton Tiger Cats 2-0, as are the Ottawa Red Blacks. Which one is for real?
Ottawa.
Contenders or pretenders? You think Ottawa's the
Ottawa's
most for real out of that?
Yeah. I mean, you look at their coaching staff and the front office. I don't think we can question what they've been able to do over the last number of seasons, you know, especially since Ottawa came back to the CFL. I have to trust that despite losing the Stars and you know, moving in a different direction, signing Jonathan Jennings and then him subsequently not even winning the quarterback, the battle to Dominic Davis, I trust what they're doing right now in Ottawa. I really do. And I think early on, I'm impressed. I'm excited what I see.
And the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 0-2. John Lynch is the one that says, your record is what you are. That's what Lynch says. By the way, we just had a guest join us in the bunker. Marsha, you can come sit down here. It's fine. I had to tell Clark the other day, this is not CNN. This is not Broadway. You can walk on in the middle. Well, maybe not quite like that in the middle of the set, but...
My grand entrance.
Your grand entrance. Da-da-da! What happened? I heard your workout went too long.
Well, no, I was expecting to be here for 10:30. So I'm 15 minutes early.
I got bad. Sure.
Got bad
in
info.
Marshall world. Yeah. Well, welcome to the show.
When you're retired, you're never late.
True enough. And you can't go on vacation. What do you go on vacation from?
I know. Exactly.
Some of the Facebook, the string is rolling here. The Saskatchewan Rattlers front office is watching. So hello, everybody up there. We mentioned the Rattlers are home Thursday night, and we got the invite from the president to go. We were going to go. Maybe you're going. But I realize that's the day of the John Ryan Golf Tournament, which I'll be in. And there's a luau that night. I'm not missing a luau. So I'll
Hawaii
have to,
or somewhere.
No, right. Everybody's gonna get laid at the Wascana. Apparently,
that's what
they do at luau's, right? They put lays on you.
Yeah,
they call it getting laid. You guys just got incredibly uncomfortable.
I'm not sure whether I want to touch it, but
I don't know.
But my mind was sure going lots of different places.
Yeah, right. From George, I would like to see Scott Schultz on the show. George, you write that every day. He's retired from broadcasting. So last I heard, it's not going to happen. So you can stop asking. Dave Spataforis says the Lions beat us when it counted in 1988. You're right. I just threw out a term. I was trying to remember an era where the Lions and Stampeders were bad at the same time. That doesn't I'm not sure there was one. And Travis checking in and says, hello, watching from sunny Vancouver. Great way to start the workday. That from Travis. Now, Marshall, as I told you a couple weekends ago on this program, we're getting reaction from all across the CFL. So you don't normally boast that you're Ticat and Stampeder alum, more Ryder, because you live here, right?
Well, the Riders were my team when I was growing up.
Right.
And for me to play with the Rough Riders was a dream come true. For me to play with the Stampeders and the Ticats wasn't a dream come true, but it was still playing a sport that I loved and an opportunity to continue my career in the last of my 5 years in the CFL. So, yeah, I'm proud that I played with those two teams, but I'm a Rider. I mean, I may not sound at times like a Rider fan when I predict against them like I did last week, but I was right. I thought that Ottawa would beat them. And, you know, I've been ranting probably for the last couple of years on In the Huddle, as you know, about, you know, my disdain for Chris Jones. And, you know, so there's lots of times when I maybe don't sound like a Rough Rider fan. But deep down inside, I'm a huge Rough Rider fan. Always have been, always will be. But I'm also, I'm objective and I'm realistic. And I'm not going to bleed green if I don't think that they've got the team to win this year or they don't have the team to win this week. So, you ask me an honest question, I'll give you an honest answer. But yeah, I'm a proud
right.
Rough
but where I was going with this is okay. Our analytics on this program show us that we've got a lot of viewers in Ontario and Alberta.
Yeah.
So do you feel a connection to the Stampeders and Tiger Cats as alum? And because I noticed, when's your birthday?
October 5th.
I think I told you the Stampeders alum sent out a tweet recognizing your birthday last October. So they recognize you. If you don't recognize them, that's on you. But do you follow them? Do you feel a connection? Would you feel comfortable analyzing the teams in those markets? Because we have viewers in those markets.
Well, the answer is I'm happy to talk about every team in the Canadian Football League. I'm not any happier to talk about the Calgary Stampeders than I am about the Edmonton Eskimos or the Hamilton Tiger Cats any more than the Ottawa Rough Riders or Ottawa Renegades. I'm a football fan. I watch every game every week, you know, sometimes forwards and backwards depending on the nature of the play. So I'm happy to talk about those teams. I'm a CFL fan. I'm not a Calgary yep. Stampeder or Hamilton Tiger Cat fan. I'm a CFL fan. I love watching football. I love talking about football. That's why I'm here.
So are we far too early? Are we... The
yes.
coverage across the CFL
yes.
has been scintillating because they're writing off some teams. They're giving parades to others. I didn't even get the question out of my mouth and you're answering it. So,
well, yeah, I mean, I kind of knew where your question was going. We're only 2 weeks into an 18-game schedule, and I'm not the first person to say the expression, but this is a marathon, not a sprint. And, you know, I don't know what the last team was, and I'll probably be off by some numbers, but the BC Lions were like 0-6 or 0-7 a cup. You know, this probably
I believe it was 0-5, but everybody's
8 or 10 yeah. years ago, and they came back and won. I don't know if they won the rest of their games, but they certainly won most of the rest of their games and went on to win the Grey Cup. So, and that was Wally Buono and some of his magic. But there are times when you've seen, you know, I think it was J.C. Watts playing with the Ottawa Rough Riders back in the 70s or 80s, where they were 5-11.
I think it was 81.
Going into the Grey Cup, because that was back then. There was no crossover, so they represented the East with a 5-11 record. I think it was when they were playing 16 games, not 18. And I think they won the Grey Cup. You know, so any team can beat any other team on any given day. You just have to get hot at the right time. You got to get into the dance. You got to make the playoffs. But yeah, it's far too early to write off the Argos, even though they look brutally bad this weekend. It's too early to write off the Riders, you know, but, you know, it doesn't look good, you know, when you're playing with your second string quarterback and you've lost your first two games, both against Eastern opponents that you should have been able to beat. Yeah, it decreases your probability that you're going to be there at the end, but everybody's still in it. It's only the second game of the year. It's only the first. Toronto's only played one game.
You jump in any time, Derek.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same thing I was just talking about before you sat in here. So, yeah, I agree with him completely.
That it's too early.
Way too early.
But is it a must-win game for the Rough Riders Monday against the Toronto Argonauts? You know, I'm just stirring it up here.
Oh,
right
I know
now.
You are. I mean, I'm not a fan of that term must-win game, but it's certainly getting increasingly important third game into the season that they got to start winning some games. I mean, we talked about this on this program before. If you want to make the playoffs in the Western Conference against the teams that we've got in the Western Conference that, in my view, are all strong, and I would say Saskatchewan without Caleros, is the weakest of those five teams, you're not going to win very many games in the West, most likely. So you got to feast on the East. And they've played two of their six games against Eastern opponents already, and they've lost them both. So, you know, let's just hypothetically, say they're going to win their next four games against the East, and they lose all of their games against the West, then they end up at, you know, 4-14?
Doesn't matter. They're
4-14. They're done.
They're done.
Even if they win half of their games in the West and all of their four remaining games against the East, then they're probably about 8-8 or something like that. So you're going to have to, and I predicted at the beginning of this year, and it's probably looking less likely now, but I thought that every team in the West would have at least 8 wins.
Far too much math for me this morning.
Oh, way too much.
But I thought everybody would have 8 wins, but that was when Claros was healthy. So now that Claros isn't healthy, I mean, the chances of the Riders getting 8 wins this year, I don't think are good. So that puts them, in my view, 5th. And the other teams are going to be fighting for the 4 spots in the West, and one of them is going to cross over into the East.
But another week 2 takeaway. It seems like a month since I've seen you. A lot's happened in the last week in the CFL. And in my life, just seems like a long time ago. Yeah. Simone Lawrence has been suspended. He's appealed. And then he got to play Saturday, and he didn't just play. He had 6 tackles, an interception, and a sack.
Yep.
That made the CFL look bad. I'm sure if Randy Ambrosi was at that game, he would have wanted to have just picked up Simone Lawrence and thrown him off the field.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't take your eyes off him. What do you think about the fact that he played, that he was allowed to play?
I'm not a fan of that, and I'll give you a bit of an answer from my other career that I retired from a year and a half ago, which was human resources. And within human resources, there's lots of different facets, but the one that I was always most fascinated with was labor relations. So it's about negotiating collective agreements. It's about managing the collective agreements between negotiations. It's about dealing with, you know, discipline, with grievances, with arbitrations, and all that kind of stuff like that. So I'm really familiar with all of that. I'm not familiar with, and don't have any inside knowledge of, is how was this negotiated, and what was negotiated, and what was the league trying to get in negotiations? What was the CFL Players Association trying to get in negotiations? It does look bad on the CFL that you suspend somebody for 2 weeks and then they're playing the next game, and then they'll play the one after that, and then they'll probably play the one after that, because it takes a while for them to line up their schedules to get to an arbitration. Lining up schedules to get to arbitration is not unusual. I mean, I've seen grievances that happened in 2017 end up in arbitration in 2019. That's like a 2-year period. So it's not unusual for the delay getting to a hearing, but this is a very different animal than you're dealing with, you know, in the potash industry or some of the industries that I've worked in. This is something where everybody's watching. It's on television. It's nationally televised. And you're seeing a guy that got suspended play. And everybody that's, you know, not a labor relations guy or whatever would say, what? What's going on? How can that possibly be? So it's a black mark on the league. It's a black mark. I think it's a black mark on the Players Association as well. And they got to find a way to get this thing figured out. I mean, one of the ways to figure this out is you suspend the guy and he sits. But if the arbitration gets overruled, he gets paid. You know, that's you compensate with the pay. That way the person is still whole. Yes, they missed the game and the team got penalized by him not being able to play that game. But there's ways to get around this. But, you know, maybe they tried all of this really diligently until midnight in negotiations and weren't successful. So without that inside knowledge, it's hard for me to comment much further on that. But it's a black eye for the league.
I know, but it just seems like so much common sense to be able to do that. And I just sometimes wonder, is it that simple? These are smart guys sitting around the table. Randy Ambrosi and Brian Ramsey are really smart guys. There's got to be something that we're missing here. And the other thing I'll just say is the National Hockey League, NFL, and particularly Major League Baseball, they get in front of an arbitrator tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I assume that's because of Doe. Has to be.
Well, but I don't think it takes... I don't think that's the excuse. I think it's... I mean, let me give you an example. I'm an arbitrator. I do arbitrations for some companies in Saskatchewan. Nobody's asked me, would I consider being an arbitrator in the Canadian Football League? And the answer is, hell yeah, absolutely I would. Could I have done it on one day's notice? Yes, I could have. I'm in a situation. I'm retired. What do? I play pickleball. I play tennis. I go to the gym. I hang out at the lake. They could have called me. So it's a matter of finding three, four, you know, you're not going to need a lot of them, but three, four, five arbitrators that are available on short notice. You don't have to have some high-powered three-piece suit. In fact, I'd probably be a good arbitrator because I played the game. I know the game. I know the CFL. I know the politics. I know the history and all that stuff like that. You go to some lawyer out of Toronto that's going to be your arbitrator. He might know lots about arbitration. He might know lots about law. But what does he know about the Canadian Football League? I don't know. And I got to believe there's more people like me that are available that could have arbitrated that within a couple of days.
Start the campaign trail.
It just seems so simple to me. That's
sold
all.
Me.
And I think when Jim Hopson comes in here an hour or two, a guy that sat at the league level, board level, he would know these things. He could probably explain as to why we got to wait. What is it, July 9th they're going to meet on this?
Something like that.
And in the meantime, he gets to play two games.
And there's another one, although the Players Association might say this is a conflict of interest. But Jim Hopson, I mean, he's not an LR guy, but you don't have to be an LR
labor relations
guy to be an arbitrator. You just need to be somebody that's reasonable, knowledgeable, can run a hearing, can hear from both sides, let both sides get all their points out, and then make a decision that makes sense. Well, Hoppy could do that. Marshall could do that. There's people out there that can do this.
That sounds so simple, doesn't it?
I'm way more confused now than when we went to air. And that's saying something.
But a lot of times these things get confused by the politics within the CFLPA, the politics within the Board of Governors. Who knows what kind of politics that the negotiators had to deal with? Because there's always... And we're taking a labor relations tangent here, but there's always multiple sets of negotiations going on. So let's say I'm the company rep and you're the union rep. You and I are negotiating a collective agreement on behalf of our respective parties. But when we leave the room, you're negotiating with all your members. I'm negotiating with my owners and executives. There's negotiations going on there, and there's negotiations at the table. So who knows the nature of those negotiations? I don't.
To the Facebook feed, few comments. Scotty Fitz says it would be terrible for morale if the Riders don't win against Toronto and the fan base will lose their stuff. John Bolke says, are the Riders going to win their first win at home? Going to get their first win at home. So back to that must-win thing. I'm going to pick, when we do get to our picks, Marshall, on our other television show on Thursday, I will pick the Riders to win on, I guess it's Monday, right, Dupes?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the Argos are as bad as what we saw on Saturday. It was opening night, opening day, whatever. You don't want to know how things went here on the first day? You don't want to know. So your thoughts on this Monday's game? Did the Riders win it? We seem to all be in agreement that the Riders will win it.
We'll do our predictions later on in the huddle, but yeah, I'm going to be picking the Rough Riders again this week. Or not again this week. I'm going to be picking the Riders this week. I picked against them the last 2 weeks, so I'm right on both of those occasions, unfortunately. But the Riders, you know, looked a lot better, at least offensively. I know we haven't broken it down yet, but the Riders looked a lot better than we thought they would on offense. And against Toronto, I think they'll score enough points that we can win. I think the defense, who played, in my opinion, quite poorly against Ottawa, will have a bounce-back game against Toronto, partly because they're embarrassed and they need to right the ship, and because they're playing against a team that's not as strong offensively as Ottawa was. So, yeah, I think it's a fairly easy pick for me to pick Saskatchewan this week. But I'm not writing Toronto off yet. I mean, Corey Chamberlain's not a dumb guy. He's a good defensive mind, and he's won a Grey Cup, obviously, with Saskatchewan in 13. He'll find a way to write that chip, but it's not the team that starts fast that wins the Grey Cup. It's the team that finishes strong that wins the Grey Cup. So they've got 17, Toronto, I'm talking about, has 17 games to right the ship. And, you know, that Eastern Conference is not the strongest, so who knows? You get on a hot streak, you win 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row, you find yourself, holy mackerel, we're in first place. People were writing us off after our week one loss to Hamilton. Too early, far too early, back to your original question, far too early to either write somebody into the Grey Cup, Winnipeg, or write somebody out of the Grey Cup, Toronto.
But you admire the passion across the country and the fan bases in each city.
We all love talking about our teams.
That's great. Dupes, your take on Monday's game.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, pretty similar. I mean, you look at the Argos, though, they were embarrassed last week. So they're, you know, you don't want to get embarrassed twice. They've got something to prove. And the pressure's off a little bit, too. I really liked, you know, with Cody Fajardo getting the first start on the road. There's no pressure of the home fans. You're away from home. You're not expected. You know, the expectations are low. I don't know what the expectations are in the Toronto community for the Argos right now after that loss last week. I would think they would be low, but yet the pressure on that group's got to be starting to rise a little bit because you don't want to be embarrassed like that and have your fans write you off and stop buying tickets and stop buying merchandise and call the season a wash after 1 week. So they're going to be ready to go, and this Rider defense has to be ready to go too. I think they were embarrassed a little bit last week too. Yeah. So there's two groups there that really want to come out and prove something. So I think it'll be a good game.
I have not heard from producer Clark since we set sail on today's episode. So I think we had Eddie Davis scheduled at 10:30, did we not? Okay, so we're going to take a timeout and be back with Rider Hall of Famer Eddie Davis. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
Back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Tuesday morning sports update. Pascal Siakam has become the first Toronto Raptors player to win the NBA's Most Improved Player Award. Spicy P beat out D'Angelo Russell of the Brooklyn Nets and De'Aaron Fox of the Sacramento Kings for the honor. Meanwhile, Golden State General Manager Bob Myers plans to meet with both Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson ahead of the start of free agency this weekend. Myers and coach Steve Kerr have made it clear they would like to keep Durant, but are prepared for the waiting game as the two-time finals MVP makes his decision. Well, it's a Tuesday morning. Marshall Hamilton with me, Darren DuPont. We are very pleased to go out to sunny Phoenix, Arizona. Riders Hall of Famer Eddie Davis joining us on video chat today. ED, good morning. How are you?
How's it going, Rod? Good to see you.
Man, you, as always, look outstanding and fresh. What's new in the world of Eddie Davis?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And, you know, the new thing for me is I own a fitness studio here in Phoenix.
You know, the last time that we talked to you was when you were being inducted here into the Plaza of Honor, which was a wonderful time and weekend. What's been up with you since? Still following the CFL?
Yeah, I still follow the CFL. I have since moved from Calgary. I used to live in Calgary. I lived there for almost 20 years and recently moved down to Phoenix. Decided to quit my corporate job, and me and my wife opened up an indoor cycling and yoga studio here in Chandler, Arizona.
You know, How are you able to watch the CFL games down there, by the way? You say you're following it, and I know there's one or two a week on one of the five ESPN channels, but how much have you been able to see, and what's your take on what's going on in the league?
The biggest thing for me, most of the time I go online and just try to catch either highlights or our old games, catch all the articles and everything that I can read. But looks like the league is doing great. I mean, see all the stadiums are doing awesome. Looks like fans are up. And the Riders didn't win the first game, but they're coming around. They score a lot of points. The defense needs to step up to stop the other team from scoring so many points, though.
Well, you know what? One of the beautiful things about this new show we're doing, Eddie, is the fans, they're watching and they can write in on Facebook. And I got some questions for you. So,
all right.
For instance, Fernie wants to know, what does Eddie think of our secondary this year? We're only two games in, but have you been able to watch it and your thoughts on what you've seen?
I haven't seen a whole lot from the secondary. One thing, the one game I did see, like just highlight from, looks like it was just little mistakes the guys are making out there. You know, like if you can tighten up all those little mistakes, you can have a decent thing. Because especially in the secondary, one small mistake turns into a big mistake real quick.
You know, you were a coach when you played, right? You gathered the guys together, all that. And I think a lot of people thought you might end up being a CFL coach. Were the opportunities there? And if so, did you think about it? And, you know, what made you decide to do what you're doing?
The day I retired, the Riders did call me and offer me a coaching job. My biggest thing, man, I just spent too much time away from my family. My family lived in Calgary for the 9 years when I was playing in Regina. And so it was just time for me to do something else and watch my kids grow up. So that's why I decided to stay in Calgary. I actually got offered a coaching job in Calgary, but turned that down. I started working in the corporate world for Halliburton for a little while, and just decided to go that route. I had to get away from football. I had to quit cold turkey because had I been around it, I would have still wanted to play.
It is a heck of a grind for sure, and I can see where you're at with that. It's funny because I drive by Halliburton. What was the Halliburton office here in Regina? Two or three times a week to get to this place. So, you know, is that tough that Halliburton, you know, no longer has a stake here and you're not with them anymore?
You know, it's not tough. I chose to leave the company, which is a pretty good decision. The oil and gas industry isn't doing so well right now. Things are kind of bleak. Hopefully that industry turns around and we'll have things pick up.
Go ahead, Darren.
Eddie, it's Darren DuPont. We were going to get into this in a little bit here. Nick Marshall had a tough game last week for the Riders at cornerback in his second year against Ottawa in that loss. He was picked on a little bit. How do you, as a veteran, how do you overcome games like that? Or, you know, looking back to your young career, how do you bounce back and kind of put that out of your mindset the next week?
Man, as a defensive back, you got to have a short memory. You're going to get scored on it, and guys are going to make plays. But, I mean, you're all professionals, and it's just what do you do when you come back and you have that opportunity to make a play? You have to step up. And the biggest thing is really the team that wins the game is the team that makes the fewest mistakes, right? And so as a defensive back, you just got to go out there and make the fewest mistakes as possible and just hold up.
You played in Calgary. You played in Saskatchewan. You won Grey Cups in both, Eddie. Take me in that Rider locker room, just if you were a player right now, just at 0-2, and there were road games out east. You're coming home for your home opener in week 3 on Canada Day Monday. What's the pressure like when you're chasing that first win early on in the season? Like, how does that weigh on a locker room?
You know what? I don't think it would weigh too much on the locker room. I know guys want to come out and get that first win, but being on the road is tough, you know, especially going out east. And that travel time just does hell to your body. And so those guys have some time to rest up. They should be ready to go. And then playing on Canada Day, it's a big game. So guys should come out and step up and play. I mean, this is what you get paid to do, right?
Eddie, Marshall Hamilton here. I played way before you did, but a former defensive back. I get the impression from your comments so far that you didn't get a chance to watch the game against Ottawa. So let me describe to you what I saw and I get you to comment on it. What I saw, Nick Marshall, I think Nick Marshall's a tremendous athlete. He's playing out on the corner. They caught him in man-to-man coverage, bump and run, you know, multiple times. And the guy that he was covering made really good plays. So there were some times where he was well covered and he still made a good play. But I found that Nick Marshall was looking back at the quarterback far too early, and as a result, his receiver was running away from him as opposed to getting into that trail position, getting your kind of left elbow locked in and looking back at the quarterback for the ball after you've got made contact with your elbow. Could you comment a little bit on the technique involved with doing bump and run coverage and making sure that you've got contact with the receiver before you look back for the ball?
Yeah, the biggest thing about bump and run is that redirection. So you want to make sure you're not just opening the gate, letting the guy just go upfield. So you want to make him redirect. And so once you redirect him, you want to get in his hip pocket. And then once you get in that hip pocket, so here's, a misconception of teachings that a lot of people have taught. And it's one thing you just said as well, is that you look back for the ball with your elbow this way, away from the receiver. I would actually tell people to look into the receiver, because he knows where the ball is coming. So the ball is going to drop down almost over your head. So if you look into the receiver, it keeps you stuck to the receiver, so you won't drift away from him, right? And that's something that Ricky Hall always taught us when I was there in Regina, and it seemed to work pretty well for us.
But I think the key principle that you and I would agree with is you don't look for the ball if you're not anywhere near your receiver. You got to get to the receiver first. You got to get on your horse and catch up to that guy. Then you can look for the ball. Whether you look over your left or your right shoulder, there's different techniques, but you got to catch the guy first.
Yeah, the biggest thing, you got to be able to touch the guy. And that's what I tell even my son's little team that I coach now, his flag football team, is that don't look back until you can touch the receiver. Because if you do look back, you're going to be pulled away from your receiver. And so just look back once you can touch the receiver.
Eddie, just two last questions. Clearly, you should be coaching. You know, we had Kevin Glenn here on the other day, and he's doing this personal coaching for quarterbacks in Detroit. He's loving it. Is that something that you're doing, like specialized coaching with young football players? Because he says that's all the rage by position now.
Yeah, it is the rage down here. And I've got – so my son's flag football team, we've got – there's probably four ex-professional athletes that are dads that help coach his team. And they do have a position-specific coaching training session that they run through down here. I'm not 100% involved in that, but I do help coach the kids out. And it's just a fun time. I think kids are learning younger and younger. And, I mean, it's just like the sky's the limit for these kids.
Okay, and lastly, as I mentioned, you're in our Hall of Fame. I don't know if the Stamps even have a Hall of Fame, but if they don't, you should be in it. You've won great cups with both. What's your best CFL memory on the field?
That's a good one. My best CFL memory on the field. Oh, you know what? All right, so here's one. We were playing against Winnipeg, actually, and this would have been maybe my first or second year of Regina, so we weren't winning a whole lot of games. We were going and playing against Winnipeg, and so we were up, I think, I want to say by maybe 2 points. Winnipeg's driving down the field, and of course I'm covering Mel Siegel, and they're completing passes left and right. They get to about the 50, and Milt goes on a deep route. I see the ball go up, and I just step in front of Milt, pick the ball off, game's over.
We'll have to ask Milt about that next time he's on with us. So we just had him on last week. I'm sure he wouldn't bring that
Milt
up.
Milt won't remember it.
Milt will say, I don't think that happened.
Yeah, you know what? I know Milt can remember all the touchdowns he scored on me, too. So, yeah, it's good.
Eddie, great to see you, as always. Glad you're doing so well. We'll look you up when we're in Phoenix, and thanks for coming on.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob. Thanks for having me, Gus.
You betcha. 29, ED, Eddie Davis, Ryder Hall of Famer. And there's something that needs to be said about Eddie Davis. He started the defection from Calgary to Saskatchewan, if you remember, back in 2000. It was a train east. Ray Jacobs, Henry Burris, Eddie Davis. There was a lot of guys, and
Wes
he was
Gates,
one of them.
Was he?
Well, he was way after that. That was 2007. But Eddie was a guy that believed in what Roy Shivers and Danny Barrett were doing here, and he's like, I want to come be a part of this. And just imagine, Marshall, too, in 2007, lift that Grey Cup over your head.
Yeah.
What a road. What a story.
Yeah, and Eddie was certainly instrumental in that, and Eddie was, and you, I don't know if you said it in exact these words, but Eddie was a coach. Eddie was a player, but Eddie was a coach when he was a player. And he was like the defensive back coach for that group of players, and really fun to watch. And one of these guys, you know, he wasn't the kind of guy, and this is a little bit my personality, but he wasn't one of those kind of guys that when he made a good play, whether it was a tackle or an interception or knockdown, where he was, you know, celebrating for the cameras. So that
never.
Hey, look at me. Look at I'm the guy that did all these. Look at the name on the back. Eddie was just one of those guys, you know, he'd give a low five or a high five to somebody and then he'd go off the sidelines and, you know, open up his lunchbox and have a sandwich and then close the lunchbox up and say, when do I go to go work next? So Eddie was, if you want to tell your kid, if he wants to play defensive back, who do you want to emulate? Eddie Davis.
That's the guy to watch.
That's the guy, both on the field and off the field.
So much fun watching those guys, you know, from when he got here, up until 07. That's the era that we all fell in love with this team, isn't it? Again, we fell in love with this team, and he was one of those guys. It was good people. They were here for a while. You had time to fall in love with them, and they stayed with you, and eventually you saw them win. You rode the roller coaster, and that's what sports is about, right? It's you win with people that you don't know and don't care about. It doesn't mean as much than the guys that you go through the war with or the guys that as fans we go through and ride the ups and downs with year over year. That's when it means more.
I just give you one example, and this is a rhetorical question, but who would you rather have on your football team, Daron Carter or Eddie Davis? They're at opposite ends of the spectrum.
Both very talented.
Both very talented. I'd rather have... I'd have a whole team full of Eddie Davis's rather than a whole team of Daron Carter's.
The decade of decadence that Darren talks about, architect of it, Jim Hobson will be with us here in hour two, and his Kemosabe trusted sidekick, Roger Brandvold. Can I call you that, Roger? He's sitting, he's like, whatever. He's sitting over in the green room, the sponsors room. Have a donut, Rog. We'll be back after this break. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Tuesday morning sports update of the Rod Peterson Show. The NHL will unveil its entire schedule today. Four Canadian teams will be in action on the first night of the 2019-2020 season on October the 2nd. The Toronto Maple Leafs host the Ottawa Senators and the Edmonton Oilers entertain the Vancouver Canucks. Again, the full NHL schedule coming out later on today. Aaron Hicks and Giancarlo Stanton stretched the Yankees' home run streak to a record tying 27 games. And New York beat the Blue Jays 10-8 last night. Hicks and Stanton each hit three-run drives, and New York matched the mark set by A-Rod and the 0-2 Texas Rangers. The Jays will play New York tonight at Yankee Stadium. I saw the Regina Red Sox won at home last night. They're in the middle of a three-game homestand. They're home again tonight, Curry Field, 7:05. Marshall Hamilton with me and Darren DuPont here up into the top of the hour and hour one of the program, and then Jim Hobson, Roger Brandvold next hour to continue the CFL talk. Our Tuesday poll, which is Canada's game of the week in the CFL this week? And it hasn't changed, dupes. You voted for Edmonton at Winnipeg, right? And that's the runaway leader. Eskimos at Bombers, 52% leading the poll, with 33% Toronto at Saskatchewan Monday. 15% of respondents, BC at Calgary, and not one soul has voted for Montreal at Hamilton. Not one. That can't be good for those two teams. But Marshall, if you had a vote, what is the game of the week for you? Well, you do have a vote. I'm asking you for it.
I mean, you just going through what you went through, I didn't know that was your poll, so I wasn't prepared for the question. But clearly, Edmonton against Winnipeg, you got two undefeated teams, two Western Conference teams, two strong teams, two teams that are playing well. Why wouldn't that be the game of the week? I mean, sure, we want to see Saskatchewan, Toronto, because we're Saskatchewan fans. We want to see Saskatchewan get their first win. But, you know, if you're really being objective and you take off your green jacket, the game of the week is going to be Edmonton against Winnipeg. And that's going to be a tough battle. And I think Winnipeg's the best team in the league, but Edmonton's playing well. But they're playing Winnipeg at home. So when you ask me later, who do I pick? I'll pick Winnipeg.
I have an email here from the Bombers. Thank you, DC. Watching today, their outstanding PR guy. The Blue Bombers announced reduced pricing for Bud or Bud Light canned beer for Thursday's home opener against the Edmonton Eskimos. Draft beer has been reduced to $4.85 plus taxes until kickoff. The $3 menu, which was introduced for the first time in the fall, is also in effect. Hot dogs, pierogies, spring rolls, and a vegetarian chili bowl, $3 including taxes at the Bomber game Thursday night.
All night? Or is that to kick off too?
That's just for the home. All night, it says.
But do they have those 2-foot hot dogs that they were displaying on television the other day? I think it was at the Ottawa game that, those looked like they were about 4 million calories, but they look good.
What is it, $26 or $30 at Mosaic?
$24.
You could make a 4-foot hot dog with if you just lined up the $3 hot dogs.
That's right.
Right?
For $12.
Just bring your own little paper tray.
Well, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers reducing beer and concession prices for food at the game Thursday. That is a fan-friendly move there by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Yeah. Marshall, before we let you go, just looking across the CFL, because as we have learned, this is a CFL-wide show. A lot of viewers in Vancouver this morning. They're so concerned in BC that Mike Riley shaved his beard off.
Did he?
Did you see that? It's a fresh start.
I didn't
see him
shaving.
The beard is gone. And he's, you know, he's 10 years off his life.
Yeah.
How concerned should they be in BC at all? You know what the criticism is. They spent too much money on the quarterback at $700,000 and not enough everywhere else.
Well, I hadn't heard that. But I wondered, and I said this, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago between you and I on one of these shows, either this one or in the huddle. But I was concerned what the impact was going to have on all these teams that loaded up at the front end with $700,000 or $800,000 for Bo Levi Mitchell or $700,000 or $800,000 for Mike Riley and, you know, a chunk of money for Trevor Harris. If you're the general manager and you're trying to balance, you got to have, for every one of these guys that's really high, you got to have probably 4 or 5 that are really low, and you're going to have trouble filling some of those other key positions. I mean, Mike Riley, in my view, the biggest problem with the BC Lions right now is the fact that they can't protect him. They've got an offensive line that's just like a sieve. I don't know how many sacks Edmonton had, but I think it was like 7 or 8. And that doesn't count the ones that probably got called back because of a roughing the passer where somebody nicked a helmet with a hand. I mean, I felt if I was Mike Riley's family, I'm thinking, get him out of there. I don't want my husband to get killed. You know, so it's going to be interesting to watch and do an analysis kind of at the end of the year and say, was it worth all the money that these teams paid for their $700,000 or $800,000 quarterback at the expense of the little they had left over to pay for the other key positions? Because it takes 24, I know it takes more than 24 because of special teams, but it takes 24 people to win a football game, not one. And you can't put all your eggs in one basket.
You know, we did that 2 weeks ago on Friday with the GM of the Ottawa Redblacks. We had him on the program when you were away, and we asked him that question. And actually, John Lynch sat in this chair and grilled him. He grilled him, and he was all over. He's like, how can you let your stars go? And I was a little nervous for the interview, to be honest. But he was, Greg Ellingson gone, Trevor Harris gone, Willem Powell gone, Sir Vincent Rogers on the line gone. They wouldn't pay the guys. And he just simply said, he's like, our philosophy is we don't want to pay the high-end guys that much and sacrifice the rest of the team around them. We want to have depth everywhere. And it's working. Who are we to argue with their model?
And they know better than anybody whether their backup is ready.
Mm-hmm.
And if your backup is ready and your starter wants, you know, a boatload full of money, that's probably the time to let the boatload of money get paid by somebody else. You pay less to your backup, who now you know is ready, and it gives you a chance to invest your money in other things. I mean, just look at your own personal finances or whatever. You know, if I want to put a Ferrari in my garage and have a two-wheel bike for my second vehicle, that's different than having two BMWs. You know, the cost is the same. But would I rather have two BMWs, or would I rather have a Ferrari and a motor, and a pedal bike?
Yeah.
So you gotta ask yourself, where do I want to invest my money? What's my best bang for my buck?
And well, but as you said, we're only 2 weeks in, so all this overreaction, right? I still think the BC Lions are going to rebound. Some of these teams aren't. Some are going to come back to the pack. And that's what we'll talk about with these guys next hour. By the way, I love the fact that we're so popular in Winnipeg. Don't you, Darren?
Yeah, we really are.
And there was a viewing party in Winnipeg yesterday for this show. It's a true story. We can show it. So Tom's watching from Winnipeg. He's the press box announcer for the Bombers and the Bisons. And he writes in on the Facebook feed and he says, the Jets have cornered the 6-foot-long hot dog market. I've heard nothing but good things about Shawarma Khan. That's Abi Khan's restaurant, as you guys probably know. Kicking myself that I haven't partaken yet. So fans like to talk about the concessions. It's the Jets that have a 6-foot hot dog. I'll settle for a 2-foot hot dog, and I'll probably have it Canada Day, Riders and Argos. Marshall, thanks for coming in.
Always fun.
Nice legs. And we'll see you tonight on television.
Yes.
Okay. After
but
the
you
break,
won't see my legs because we have a desk there.
That's true. Jim Hobson, Roger Branvold in studio next hour. We'll be back after this break. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse is a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca. Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.